Welcome to the Daily Signal podcast for Wednesday, May 8th. I'm Virginia Allen. China is intentionally advancing the green energy agenda for its own purposes. The Heritage Foundation has laid these purposes out in their new report, Chinese Handcuffs: How China Exploits America's Climate Agenda. And Aaron Walsh is joining us on the show today to break this down and to explain exactly how America should move forward as we contend with China for energy dominance. Stay tuned for my conversation with Aaron Walsh, a senior research fellow here at the Heritage Foundation, after this.
As conservatives, sometimes it feels like we're constantly on defense against bad ideas, bad philosophy, revisionist history, junk science, and divisive politics. But here's something I've come to understand. When faced with bad ideas, it's not enough to just defend. If we want to save this country, then it's time to go on offense. Conservative principles are ideas that work. Individual responsibility, strong local communities, and belief in the American dream. As a former college professor and current president of the Heritage Foundation, my life's mission is to learn, educate, and take action. My podcast, The Kevin Roberts Show, is my opportunity to share that journey with you. I'll be diving into the critical issues that plague our nation, having deep conversations with high-profile guests, some of whom may surprise you. And I want to ensure freedom for the next generation. Find The Kevin Roberts Show wherever you get your podcasts.
I am so pleased to welcome back to the Daily Signal podcast today, Senior Research Fellow for International Affairs at the Heritage Foundation's Asian Studies Center, Aaron Walsh. Aaron, thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you for having me. It's great to be back.
Well, I'm really excited to talk about this brand new Heritage Foundation project. And the name is unique. It's called Chinese Handcuffs. Chinese Handcuffs, or sometimes called Chinese finger traps. They're actually a child's toy, and you put both your fingers kind of in a tube, and the more you try and pull and get them out, just the further your fingers are stuck. The trap tightens around your fingers. So it's an interesting analogy, and I'm excited to unpack this specifically. So the full name of this new project from Heritage is Chinese Handcuffs: How China Exploits America's Climate Agenda. If you would, Aaron, just share with us a little bit about the mission of this project.
Sure. Thanks so much. Victoria Coates actually launched this, and the idea is to have four different papers that are done. Ours was the first to really sort of give the background on what this is all about. Then we'll move into the next phase, which will be national security, really, you know, defense and what impact this climate agenda has had. And then the last two sections will really be focused on where we are today, which is EVs, renewables, and really what impact that has had on the states and more of our national security.
Okay. And why did you all decide to call it Chinese Handcuffs?
Well, because, again, a brilliant idea of Victoria's, because, as you know, those little basket-looking things that you put your fingers in is the choice that America has gotten us. And then what's happened is the Chinese realized it and they trapped us.
Okay.
And so they've taken advantage of the United States because we've had this very driven agenda, climate agenda, which was really developed. It was the mindset of elites such as Al Gore. And it really has carried through from Gore to Kerry to Obama and then to Biden, and then back to Kerry and Biden. So that's where we are today, and it's been devastating for the United States.
So it's not new.
It is not new, as a matter of fact. It started in the 50s, 60s.
So what is China's natural resources? What does that look like? Give us a little bit of a sense of what China has, what America has. What is kind of the global energy landscape, and how interdependent are we on each other?
Sure. China, first of all, if we talk about the size of China, they're now the second largest to India, but they've got a population of 1.4 billion people. And that's obviously enormous. And the current regime, the Chinese Communist Party, has been in there since 1949. And they realize what's at stake in terms of keeping their population down. And so, unfortunately for them, they are limited in their resources. They do not, they are not energy independent like the United States. So China has coal, dirty coal, whereas the United States has clean coal. It's dirty coal.
Just explain the difference.
So the United States has spent a lot of time cleaning our coal, and we have much cleaner not only coal, but we also have liquefied natural gas.
Okay.
They don't have that. In fact, they are the largest producer, the third largest producer of energy in the world. They are the greatest importer. So they're limited, and that is why they've started on this renewable energy and the electric vehicles, because what they've done is to really steal our own technologies for solar, for wind, and now these batteries that were actually started in the United States, the lithium-ion batteries. They've stolen the technology, and they've built up a major industry that put massive resources into it, their own state resources, as well as foreign direct investments. So the United States has been primary investors in their growth.
Okay. Is this related to China's Belt and Road Initiative?
They do that across the globe, but okay. Of course we're not party to that.
Okay. Interesting. So then when you look at the strategy of China right now, for years, anytime you go to the store and you pick up a clothing item, a vase, half of it, more than half, is made in China. We've seen that so much of our products, what we import, it's home goods, it's clothing, furniture. But now we're seeing the shift in China, and they're referring to kind of a new three as far as major exporters, solar panels, lithium-ion batteries, and new energy vehicles. Why is China deciding, okay, we're going to shift maybe away from this focus on production of home appliances, clothing, and furniture to now these energy sources?
For two purposes. One, they need it themselves. And number two, since they launched this strategy called Made in China 2025 under Xi Jinping, the current chairman of the Communist Party and president, they have focused on high-end technology, and what they want to do is supplant the United States as number one in technology and really the globe. And so they have driven very, very hard, and what they've done is they because they're a Communist Party, they can set the agenda, and then they drive the agenda. So they want this higher level of technology and new technologies, which mean these electric vehicles and the lithium-ion batteries, and then, of course, renewables, solar and wind, which also help them as well. So there's the old three, which you mentioned, and then the new three, and that's what they've really driven the investment on.
And how much of that new three is coming out of China into America and Europe? Are we in America producing any of our own solar, any of our own EV batteries? Is Europe doing that at all?
So solar, for one, is it started here, and then they took the technology and they've done massive development of solar. So they control the entire, about 80% of it, but they control the entire supply chain.
Wow.
So you can't be involved unless you're purchasing some goods from China to make your solar panels, solar cells. And the same thing with wind and with batteries and electric vehicles. Right now on the batteries, they've got the dominant control of the supply chain. And then in the electric vehicles, they export about 45 to 48% of electric vehicles around the world. And so it's really hurting car manufacturers, certainly in the United States, with GM, Ford, even though they're trying to bring battery factories manufacturing here in the United States, which is creating a real problem, as we see in some states, who don't want the Chinese battery companies in their state. We're seeing a real pushback.
Yeah.
And in Europe as well. Europe is seeing that they're dumping the cars and hurting their own electric vehicle businesses. So what they're doing is like they did with steel. They're dumping them. They're also sending them to Mexico and setting up production plants in there so that they can take control, take advantage of the agreement that we have. It's the new NAFTA, essentially, mm-hmm. with Canada and Mexico and the United States, where they can bring them in for free.
So I can see right away those economic impacts and effects. There's also national security implications here of concern, correct?
Yes, exactly. So in terms of national security, because they control the production and the processing of what we call essential rare earth essential minerals, and because they control that, they have about 40 to 50% control. They extract them mostly from other countries, mostly from Africa for the most part, and then they process them there. So rare earths are not that rare. We've got the capacity here in the United States. It's the processing that we have given up any capability of that kind of processing, manufacturing. And so what's happened is that because they control that, the United States, we need that for our defense. And so it puts us at very high risk being dependent on them for that, because if the United States or our allies go to war because of their control of the minerals, which are in our key industry, you know, like the F-35, radios, drones, the minerals are in all of those. If we don't have those, we're in very difficult shape. And I mean, we're done. And so, say, for example, in World War II, the powers had, the Allied powers had, before World War II, we controlled the minerals and we had everything that we needed. We don't today. And because we did, we were able to win the war.
Wow.
It puts us in a different perspective today. Certainly being reliant on China.
Looking at the perspective from our leaders, the Biden administration, I can see that not everyone has the full picture of the ramifications, but certainly the government has to have the full picture. So why is the Biden administration moving forward with a green energy agenda when, as you've just laid out, there are these implications that affect national security, that affect the American economy?
You know, it's really, it's almost become like a religion for them. It's absolute nonsense, and it's they're like zealots. And the Inflation Reduction Act, which he put in play, signed in 2022, basically is to crush fossil fuels and to bring in renewables. And as a result, it has made us very vulnerable because they've stopped permitting and they've stopped allowing for drilling. And he's even put a hold on LNG, as we've seen recently in the news, and our exports of that. So it's putting our allies at risk as well. And I think he really believes that his legacy is going to be this climate agenda, that the United States is going to lead the world in that. And what happened is that will drive us to really out of our leadership position in the world. And the other thing is there are competing factors that they're going to be running into, because AI, the United States wants to be the leader in AI, of course, and in new technologies and supercomputing. And what happens is that AI takes up a tremendous amount. They're power hungry on the electrical grid. And so what will happen is that AI is going to end up running on fossil fuels. And you can't have it both.
Interesting. Would that be something that would be easy to shift or undo if we decided 10 years from now, wait a second, we don't want it running this way, we want to shift it back to a different energy source? Can we
do that? It's going to take a long time. You can't be number one in AI, which, of course, the left wants to be number one in AI, you know, Silicon Valley, and they do. But you can't have it both ways. It's going to take a lot of energy and a lot of energy on the electrical grid. And so we can't get it that fast. And wind and solar don't do that.
Interesting. Now, I'm glad that the report that you have released, it doesn't leave readers in an entirely depressing state.
No, not at all.
You do offer hope, and you're clear in the report that China's dominance, it's not inevitable that within this energy space. What are the challenges that China faces on this front?
Well, let me just tell you, on the optimism, when President Trump left office, we were energy independent and we were an exporter. A huge exporter of LNG and oil. So that was just a few years ago. The problem is that President Biden doubled down and did all this. So it's put it at a great risk. It's going to take a little bit of time, but it's going to take a conservative president to come back in and to turn the spigot back on is basically it. China faces a lot of challenges because, number one, they're getting pushback in Europe, which they did not expect at all. They've got a very good relationship with Europe, but because of the EVs, that's creating some real problems. They're also having problems because of their reliance on Iran and Russia for their oil. So if anything happens there, that's going to create problems for them because we're not exporting, for the most part, to China right now. They also have challenges internally because they are currently building, despite what their rhetoric says at all these UN conferences, they are building 2 coal fire plants a week. They have a massive plan.
2 a week?
Yes. They have a massive plan to roll out coal fire plants. And so while the world has saluted them for making commitments at the UN conferences, they're actually not doing that at all. They're doing their own thing. So the emissions from that are going to continue to grow, and they're going to have the pollution problems and the water problems and everything that they've had in the past. So, of course, that's going to cause some social unrest, and the population is not going to be very pleased as what happened before in the past. So we'll see. They've got an uphill battle.
So they're developing energy, it sounds like, on all fronts right
now.
Oh,
my gosh, yes. Okay. They are not. I mean, they have their own climate agenda, and the climate agenda is not a globalist China agenda. I mean, climate agenda. Theirs is about China and about their regime security and stability, and that's what they care about. So when they come to conferences or they make commitments, it's rhetoric because they're not in it for anybody but themselves. And the United States and Europe have actually believed China. Mm-hmm. And so instead of balancing out ours in terms of what our needs are, Biden has put us in a very difficult spot. He wants to double down and tie our hands behind our backs. And that's a problem.
Walk us through the scenarios of sort of a crossroads. If we keep walking down the path we're walking down right now under the Biden administration, mm-hmm. keep doubling down on green energy, where does that take us? And then if we do end up with another conservative administration in the White House and there's a pushing pause, what are the policies that should be in place to lead us down a more productive road for America?
We're going to have to do massive permitting. Immediately, we're going to have to pull out of the Paris Agreement. The United States has got to be committed to opening up lands for drilling. That's very, very important to get our oil going, our nuclear. We should be investing in nuclear energy, and we should have a very large portfolio of energy opportunities for the United States in order to bring inflation down, in order to make things affordable for the United States, because when we think about gasoline, that's what we think of. Mm-hmm. But it's not just gas. Everything uses energy. Our manufacturing, agriculture, everything that comes to your plate, everything that is around your house. So I think we need to understand that for the American people to thrive, for businesses to thrive, we need energy. And it's about our energy security and our national and economic security as well.
And if we keep going on the trajectory we're going right now, in 10 years, where are we going to be at?
We will not be in good shape. But I do think that there is becoming a rejection of a lot of this. It's a rejection of the extremism. And we're seeing this. We're seeing it. I saw 3 articles in the Wall Street Journal and in the New York Times yesterday just on this, like, hey, we cannot continue on this energy climate gig, so to speak, because it's not working. It's not working for people. And the electric vehicles and the desire to have those by 2035 like they want in China, that everybody's to have that, it's destroying businesses. It's destroying jobs.
Erin Walsh of the Heritage Foundation. You can find the full report, Chinese Handcuffs, How China Exploits America's Climate Agenda, at the Heritage Foundation website. That's heritage.org. Erin, thank you for your time today.
Thank you so much. It was great to be with you again.
And with that, that's going to do it for today's episode. Thanks so much for being with us on the Daily Signal podcast. Make sure you check out Top News around 5 p.m. today, where we bring you the top news of the day. Those are the headlines that you need to know to stay informed on what's happening in our world. And be sure to hit the subscribe button so you never miss out on new shows from the Daily Signal. And if you would, leave us a 5-star rating and review. We'll see you right back here at 5 p.m. for Top News.
The Daily Signal podcast is made possible because of listeners like you. Executive producers are Rob Bluey and Kate Trinko. Hosts are Virginia Allen, Brian Gottstein, Mary Margaret Olihan, and Tyler O'Neill. Sound design by Lauren Evans, Mark Guiney, and John Pop. To learn more or support our work, please visit dailysignal.com.